Oh, yeah, disco party.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve.
Your hi, disco everybody. Ball has descended.
Yep.
Well, they that's told normal. Me that would happen.
Hey, welcome to the show. It's Bill and it's Wendy. That little fella you just heard, that's our friend Steve. Mary's here.
A
everybody's
little
here.
Fellow.
Yeah, little Steve. You were involved in a conversation earlier that made you sound so old. So old. Can you guess which one? There were a couple that qualified, but there was one in particular that I just sat back and I went, oh boy, Grandma Walton and I have a show to do in 15 minutes. What would it be? What do you think it could have been?
In the office?
Yeah.
God, I don't listen to myself when I talk.
So there's
why do you?
Everyone in the office, that would be you, me, and Jasmine. Everyone's quiet. And then you just sit back and you go, I just do not get this Cardi B.
Oh, yeah. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't get her.
For people who don't know, she is probably
a whack
the hottest.
Job.
But right now, wouldn't you say, in terms of musical acts,
no.
She's like the hottest ticket in town right
I don't
now.
Get her either, Wendy.
Oh, boy.
Listen.
Sorry.
You guys aren't supposed
and
to get her.
And I keep wanting to call her Carly B.
No, it's not Carly B.
I know, but Cardi B.
What does she wear, Bill?
A cardigan sweater.
See. Okay, who's the grandpa and grandma here?
But I'm making money off her Dixie Riddle cups. I'm making tons.
I just feel bad. I will say this for many people. Once they perform on SNL, that's usually when I see them for the first time.
Yeah. Oh, so, had you never seen her before Saturday?
I saw her on a clip with one of the Jimmys or somewhere. Maybe Stephen Colbert. Has she ever been on with him?
I think she's probably been on all of them.
The Wintrust Business Lunch, she was on a couple weeks ago.
You had her on with Andrea Haynes. The two of them were debating rates. Yeah, she kept making funny noises.
Right.
Who she is? She's our generation. She's this generation's Charlie Callis. Remember how Charlie Callis' whole act? He would just be on the Tonight Show and he'd go like that. That was it for 20 minutes.
And we would laugh.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a fun time. She's Charlie Callis.
All right, you just explained it to me.
Yeah.
Did you guys know what her real name was?
No.
Yeah, I forgot what
Belle Kellis Elmanzar.
Oh.
That sounds like Cardi.
I think she pronounces it differently.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Belle Kellis? I don't know.
But I...
No, she reads it every time like it's the first time.
But I could see where...
Well, this generation needs a Charlie Kellis.
Every generation needs a Charlie Kellis.
You've made it make sense to me for a minute.
But
her name's Belle Kellis.
Oh, the callous part. It
there
just,
you
oh,
go.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, Mary, your idea is maybe, just maybe, she is the daughter, the long lost daughter of the great Charlie Callis.
It could be.
Oh, Jasmine, and that's what I asked Jasmine, because I am old and unhip, and Jasmine is young and hip.
Yeah.
And I said, do you like Cardi B? And Jasmine, you said?
Yes.
Can you play something that I might like?
Okay, give me a second.
There are a couple.
In
the
I don't
second
know.
Song she did on Saturday Night Live, the one where the punchline was that she's a bride and she's pregnant.
Yeah, that's not a punchline.
See, I couldn't figure out.
It is, but it's the guy who gets the punch.
Did right. she do that song with Bruno Mars? Was that her?
Yeah,
yes,
I think
that's
she
the song
did
I was
do,
gonna play.
She did do
oh,
it. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even
well,
remember
me.
It.
Yeah.
I need
nice,
to hear Mary. It again because I was. I think, first of all, she's absolutely beautiful. I think she has a pretty good voice.
Mm-hmm.
She may not be doing music that I'm very much into, so I was trying to have an unbiased ear as I was listening.
Right.
When they pulled the camera out and they showed her, I will never say this word again because I hate it. It's a double word. I'm
what
not even
it?
Saying
Come
it.
Come on.
When they showed her pregnancy stomach.
You were going to say baby bump.
I hate that
Don't,
word.
Yeah, that... A baby deserves better than being referred to as a bump.
It is not a bump.
No, that's a kid. That's a you got a human being in there, probably.
I mean, I know I've referred to my kids as an alien because kind of it is
that's
like
better.
That. It is
I'd
better
rather,
than a baby
that's
bump.
More polite.
But when they pulled back and showed her, I thought, is that padding? I didn't really get it.
I thought it was the punchline because all through the song they kept showing her and she was dressed like a bride, and then at the end the reveal is, oh look, the bride is pregnant, and I went. They went for a punchline, but no, she really is. That was her way of revealing that.
I didn't get that was a bridal gown.
Oh, you didn't? No?
It didn't look like a bridal gown to me. I don't know anything. I feel old. All right, play a little of a tune.
Drop top Porsche, rolling on my wrist, diamonds up
stepping out my chain. Uh-huh. Cardi B's Jay Stunner can't tell me nothing. Bossed up and I changed the game. Just give it. It's my big bronze boogie. Got all them girls shook. Shook. My big fat. Got all them boys cook.
I don't get it.
I'm always leery of performers that use their own name in their song.
Yeah, in the third person. Yeah, I hate that.
Bill, you do that all the time.
I do it. I do it in my music.
You make cartoon themes.
Cardi B says, Jimmy
right.
says.
Right. It's always catchy. Strange.
She's talented. I'm going to tell you that right there. I think she's talented, yes. But it is not something I'm into. She's goofy, and I'm okay with goofy people.
But there's never a rhyme or reason for when she does like a hummingbird or there's just sound effects, and you go, what was she thinking when she goes, well, now I better put in a train whistle. And you go, oh, yeah, all right, do a train whistle now.
This generation's Charlie Kills,
yes.
That makes all the sense in the world.
That's what she's going for.
She's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
I think she's so pretty, and I really loved when I saw the pregnancy area. Her stomach. I don't want to say baby bump. When I saw the reveal.
Her stomach?
Yeah, I guess.
That's where it should be.
Well, it's abdomen, technically.
The abdomen.
Your stomach's up here.
Yeah. Your stomach?
It's up here.
It's not down here?
No, your
stomach. My stomach's down here.
No, your stomach is like kind of right in between your rib cage. It's up higher.
Oh, mine's where my navel is located.
No, it isn't.
You sure?
Have you been in his...
That's where my stomach is.
I'm going to show you the anatomy doll.
When it growls, that's where the growling is.
We can hear it.
Can hear it up in the newsroom.
Steve,
on
Smarty
seven.
Pants, where's your stomach?
Well, my stomach's up on the seventh floor of the Tribune Tower.
He is correct.
All right, the two of you take it on the road, please, you know, then you'll be out of here.
She should get married to R2-D2.
They said she was on Fallon last night.
I saw
said.
Her.
She's yeah. co-hosting.
With John Mulaney. Oh. No, she wasn't. She was sitting in the chair.
They made a big deal out of the fact that she'll be the first co-host where she's also allowed to ask questions.
Oh, well, she was just sitting on the couch, so yeah. I thought co-hosting would have put her behind
where
the
Ed
desk.
Where Ed used to sit. She could go, hi-yo.
What does your question mark sound like?
That's Victor Borga who used to do that,
oh, yeah.
right?
He used to do that.
On Sesame yeah. Street.
That was great.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know. Good luck to her. I thought it was really cool to look at her pregnancy being revealed, and I had to look up online, is she really pregnant? And TMZ was reporting that she was wearing clothes that were covering it at this iHeartMedia thing she did a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Her first song, she looked like Big Bird because she had feathers all around her that did not reveal it.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very end, when the camera pulled back and everybody applauded, I thought, what a cool way to announce, hey, I'm having my baby.
Right, right.
Not your baby.
But you will not be buying tickets to see her perform anytime soon. She is out of your league.
No, but she'll be able to communicate with that baby pretty well with all the sound effects she does.
I know. All right, a break, then more show. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Can I clear something up very quickly?
Yes.
I said I don't usually like it when singers or bands use their own names in a song, like Cardi B, your favorite. Cardi B sings a song and her name is all throughout it. This does not apply to Chaka Khan. You know that, right?
I feel for you.
Yeah. Chaka Khan has free reign to say Chaka Khan as many times as she wants, and she does.
I'm okay with Slim Shady, too, because it's an alter ego.
He pulls it off a little bit.
I like Eminem. What's wrong with me?
Nothing.
Although,
Eminem's
when he was
great.
On SNL fairly recently, he did not perform well, in my opinion.
No?
I thought, you know, dude, come on, you fizzled.
Mm.
Slim Shady has put on some weight.
Oh.
I don't know what it is.
Oh.
I've came across something, Bill, and there is a single household task that causes more relationship distress than any other household task in the entire nation, world, universe.
Can you be slightly more specific? Like, is the problem that arises because he thinks she's going to do it, she thinks he's going to do it, and nobody wants to do it? Is that what it is?
Can I try?
Yeah, Steve?
Cleaning the crud behind the kitchen faucet.
Is that
That's very specific, and I would agree with you. I hate that.
Yeah,
but no,
that's not it.
It involves the sink, I'll tell you that.
Oh, the drain. Unclogging the hair out of the
drain. Is that what it is? I bet it could be.
No, that's not it's it not. Either. But it's something that we all have to do pretty much every night, except for Bill Leff's family, because
we don't have to do it.
They don't eat in
dishes.
Yes.
Oh.
Doing the dishes, it's a proven fact. Dishwashing causes more relationship distress than any other household task. And you know why? Because every day they just accumulate. Every day, plates covered in sauces and crumbs, bowls with a fine layer of sticky who knows what, forks, knives.
Sounds like you're taking us into your house here, Wendy. Is there is this an issue for you? Or
no, you guys have that system.
Can I tell you, Jimmy Mac does every dish in the house.
Yeah.
That's the system.
That's the easiest thing in the world.
But see, he is...
how did that happen? Did he say to you?
Because I used to cook every night. And whoever cooked didn't have to do the dishes. I stopped cooking 2 years ago, and I don't think he's realized that.
So it's just a given. He washes them, he dries them, he puts them away.
Yeah, I mean, I did whine about, like, oh, I just got my nails done. Could you do it? But honestly, it all started one Thanksgiving many years ago where he saw all the work that I put into preparing the meal that he totally took control of the dishes and has done it ever since. It's been years.
This could be a good side business for him.
Oh, my God.
Show up to people's houses in the neighborhood at a specific time, get the dishes done, 15 minutes in, 15 minutes out.
I hate doing the dishes.
Yeah, it's the worst.
A report from the Council of Contemporary Families, the CCF.
The CCF. These guys know their stuff.
It's a nonprofit that studies family dynamics.
Well, sure. How would you make money at that? Being CCF.
Right. But if they want to study family dynamics, they should certainly come and live with us for a little bit.
Yeah.
They suggest that the answer to the question can have a significant impact on health and longevity. And the question is, who is going to do the dishes? The study examined a variety of different household tasks, including shopping.
Yeah.
Laundry.
Yeah.
Jim's kind of been doing the laundry, too.
Yeah.
God, I love him.
You're going to get fired. Doesn't seem like you're holding up your end of the bargain at all. It seems like everything's on Jimmy's shoulders.
I make the kids lunches.
Oh, okay. You're
although
fine
he's
then.
Been going to the grocery store, too. All right, whatever. Shopping, laundry, and house cleaning. And they found that for women in heterosexual relationships, it's more important to share the responsibility of doing the dishes than any other chore in the house. Women who wash the vast majority of the dishes themselves report more relationship conflict, less relationship satisfaction, and even worse sex than women with partners who help.
I don't understand the correlation, but okay.
Women are...
They're ticked.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, nothing is more of a turn-on than when Jim handles something at all. That didn't sound
no,
right.
That, no, you, no, I think you said exactly... Right. I think
that's true in a lot of relationships, Wendy.
Yeah.
All right. Let me rephrase that.
No, you don't need
no,
to.
We get it.
But if all of a sudden
he's like every Sunday we have to go to the store to get lunch meat for the lunches for Dylan. I make his lunch every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it fresh, so I make it in the morning, and I make sure the light mayo is in between the meat slices so it doesn't get the bread all soggy. I put a lot of care and finesse and love into my sandwich
sounds
making.
Sounds like it, Felix Unger.
Sounds like you took a 30-second job and made it a 32-second job.
Yeah, I'm a little anal, and whatever.
Yeah.
So you have to go to the grocery store, somebody does, every Sunday to get lunch meat.
How often is it, Jim?
A lot. And so this, I went out with some girlfriends this Sunday, and I said...
Sunday afternoon?
Yes.
Oh.
And I said, I will pick... Why? What do you mean?
It just seems like you've picked a convenient time to be away. Like, a lot of people would meet with their friends maybe on a Sunday. You went out for dinner with them, didn't you?
We met at 5:30, yeah.
Oh.
For pizza and beer and darts.
At 5:30?
On a Sunday.
Oh.
What's wrong with that?
That just
seems
like a... It seems like...
I have a girlfriend.
Time,
listen,
you?
Do you remember that three of my friend's fathers have died?
You can't keep pulling this card out.
Listen, no, I do.
And 9/11. Right. You got to remember, we had 9/11. Come on.
Then my other friend, Jan, who lives in Arizona, her parents got in an accident going to one of the funerals, and they weren't doing well, so she came into town.
Yeah.
And they listen.
Yeah.
Jim, I know you're listening right now. I hope you feel better, and your wife, Joyce. So we got together. That was the only time we could all meet.
Right.
Why do I have to explain myself to you?
You don't have to.
Even Jim was like, I said, Jan's in town. Can I see her? Sure. When you going? So I said, I'll go to the Jewel and get lunch meat on my way. Don't you worry about it. So I did, and I brought a little cooler with ice packs, and it was in my car the whole time.
Wow.
Well, I help.
You should have brought it into the restaurant. You just kept it in the cooler. Women, we have lunch meat. If anyone needs lunch meat, we have some. You could have traded with other tables.
Can I tell you, we bought a bucket of Miller Lights. It was $10 for five. So $2 a beer. They came in their own ice buckets.
Yeah.
And we're old and don't like Cardi B, so we didn't finish the bucket. I went to this young table of girls who were playing darts, and I said, you know what? We can't. We're old and we can't finish these. Do you want them? And each one of the three girls hugged me. And then I said, it's from that table. It was a great night. Anyway, women are happier about sharing dishwashing duties than they are about sharing any other household task. So they want help with the dishes.
I guess they do. Yeah.
We can continue this a little bit after the news.
Calls are lining up. We're at 312-981-7200. Your thoughts. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's a Tech Tuesday. We're going to talk to Ashley Esqueda on our Tech Tuesday in just a little bit, but I wanted to finish this up. Doing the dishes is the worst. It's now proven. It's a fact. Dishwashing causes more relationship distress than any other household task. Kathy wants to weigh in on this. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're good. What do you think?
Good, good. 1,000% agree with you. I mean, I don't mind cooking. I don't mind cleaning. I don't mind any of that. And my family is amazing. However, when, like, you're doing all that all day long, you finally sit down and you start clearing dishes and you're at the sink and everybody's just chilling at the table still.
Hmm.
I know.
Like, guys, like, legit, can you just throw me a bone once in a while?
What if the guy cooks? Then I think you should do it.
Well, last night, my husband cooked, and it was amazing, and he's awesome, don't get me wrong. But I was doing the dishes, and I have no problem with that. But when I do it all, and then the best part is when the kids walk over and just set the dishes next to me.
Hi, Mom.
Like, guys, I actually measured one time and left a note. The dishwasher is 5¾ inches away from the sink. it's another 5 inches. Just open the door and put it in there.
Right. Right.
And that's the hard thing. I sound like such a jerk, but you're just like, dude, it's like so simple.
I don't want to cause trouble in your family, Kathy, but it sounds like they don't love you.
Oh, stop
they
it.
That's what
it
me. Sounds they like.
All right. Can I just tell you that this is really part of it, Kathy. In this article at theatlantic.com, it says, unlike some other chores such as cooking or gardening, doing the dishes well does not beget compliments. No one is there to say, oh, my God, the silverware is so sparkly. You're the best. Mm-hmm. Although I made.
Unless, heaven forbid, there's a dirty glass and I get the, ew. Okay, well, then you feel free to take everything out and rewash it if I made one little mistake. And don't get me wrong. My kids are amazing and they do everything else great and they're so super helpful. And that's why I shouldn't even be complaining because it's so stupid.
But this is disturbing, isn't it?
It's a little aggravating.
Sure it is. Of course it is. All right. I hope you guys stay together for the sake of the kids. That's what I hope.
You know what? Every day I wake up and that man is still next to me is a blessed day. He should have left me years ago. So I'm not complaining.
That's sweet, Kathy. I feel the same way about Jim.
Exactly.
Have a good one.
You too.
Now, traditionally, women have shouldered full responsibility for chores that involve cleaning up after someone else. For instance, doing the laundry, cleaning the toilet, washing the dishes. Men, on the other hand, are often associated with mowing the lawn, taking out the trash, washing the car, tasks that don't require getting up close and personal with somebody else's grime. I mean, really, that is true.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I'm sensing Steve disagreeing with you.
I mean, some of these things, it's like they have
genius.
To write something. Yeah. Really? What part of taking out the garbage isn't getting close to people's grime?
Because it's all sealed up.
Oh, please. That's just they're making stuff up.
And quite honestly, I don't mind taking out the garbage and I don't mind I love mowing the lawn.
Do you?
Jim will not let me do it because he doesn't want the neighbors to see me do it because then the
it
neighbors
looks bad
will go,
on him.
Why can't he do it?
Right.
Get off the hammock and do the lawn.
You should go to the car and say, hey, I'm going to get the cold cuts.
Right.
I love mowing the lawn.
I do too. My husband never lets me. He broke his arm once and then I could do it, but he says I don't make the lines right.
Oh, no.
You know, they got to go.
How specific.
It's ridiculous.
Maybe you better work on that.
Jim was so mad at me because I was pregnant and I was mowing the lawn. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm getting some exercise. Thank you very much.
When Noah was young, Sharon would mow the yard when put Noah on the backpack behind her.
Oh, cool.
The baby Bjorn or whatever.
But I would freak out because she would lean over, you know, to change the bag or whatever.
Yeah, that's too close.
Yeah.
That's way too
close. All right, well, sure. I honestly, Jim really does all the dishes, and I can't thank you enough if you're listening, honey. Sherry, you, your husband does the dishes as well?
He does sometimes, but what drives me crazy when he will do a pot or a pan is he'll put water in it, and he'll scrub all the crud off of it, and then he'll put it in the dishwasher. And I tell him all the time, if you just put a little bit of soap in it, and scrub it, it'll be done. It won't have to go in the dishwasher. So it drives me crazy that he does that. Just put some soap in it.
Can I tell you something, Sherry? I have learned something, and it took me, Jim and I have been married 20 years. It took me 20 years.
What is it?
To learn this. When I criticize the way he does something, he will then just go,
then you do it.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, if you want someone to do something, you got to let them do it their way.
I mean, now it's doubly clean, Sherry.
It is doubly clean. You're absolutely right. And you know what? I love you guys, and I will take that into consideration next time he does that.
Thanks, Sherry. That's so nice. That's so nice.
Well, good luck to you. Even Dylan's my youngest one, and he's like, Mom, there's more than one way to do things. I said, no, there's my way.
Wow.
Sherry, good luck to you.
You're like a hurricane.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
When I rinse stuff off, it is so incredibly clean. Like for me, the dishwasher, that's the last line of defense.
Right.
I clean it and scrub it and then put it in the dishwasher.
I do too.
The rest of my family puts stuff in. There's always maple syrup on things, and we haven't had pancakes in a year and a half. I don't know where the maple syrup is coming from, but every time I look in there, I go, there's Aunt Jemima on everything. Where did this come from? But I make it so clean when I put it in there.
Because, and another thing, I mean, and I'm not complaining about it because there is more than one
yes.
way to do things. Oh, it's even hard for me
to
say.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you overload the dishwasher and you didn't really pre-rinse them well,
yeah.
there are a lot of forks that come out that still have gunk on them.
Yeah,
so
you don't want that.
When I load the dishwasher, which is very rarely, I get all the gunk off and then put it in there.
Right. The way it's supposed to be.
But we have an old dishwasher. I mean, maybe if we had a funky new one, which newfangled, they do everything for you.
Yeah.
But the old ones, you kind of had to pre-rinse it.
Right.
And a couple of my kids, I just had a fight with this weekend, by the way. A couple of my kids wash dishes, they rinse, and they just let the water run, and they glob soap on it. They don't fill
That's
up
not enough.
The sink
I don't
with
fill
water.
Up the sink either.
You don't?
That's why our water bill is like $300 every 2 months.
Oh, my gosh, that drives me nuts. I got to do it my way. I can't watch them do it that way with the water running.
All right, well, Diane, if you're not married, there's a bunch of men who are going to want to marry you.
Well, I'm available. Frankly, our old dishwasher worked better than our new dishwasher. But I wanted
really?
To say that, I have to almost clean it to the very bottom to have them come out right. But I used to teach preschool, and when we had a child who was having a bad day, we had a little dishwashing stand, and nothing calmed them down more than water and the soap and playing with the bubbles and all of that. And I think back that when I was a kid, we didn't have an automatic dishwasher, and my time with my mom was when we got to do the dishes together. I dried and she washed, and I'm sure she wasn't happy to be washing, but I was happy to be drying with her. So there's still a benefit.
Oh, sure.
That's pretty sweet. And I do remember that. We didn't have a dishwasher at all growing up. We just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing. Your mom would wash and you'd get a dish towel and you would dry the dishes and put them away. And it gave some togetherness, some family time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You didn't hang them out on a line in your yard, did you?
No, but we did. I still have a clothesline. I'm one of the few people that still loses a clothesline. I love
it.
Wow. Well, Diane,
my cousin got to wrap them up in a towel and put them over the floor vent.
Oh, nice, that's beautiful.
What a sweet way to share with us. And I didn't think about its therapeutic benefits. I really didn't. What a good thing.
Not on a bad day, but just on a good day.
Thanks, Diane.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great week.
You.
Take care.
Still not going to get me to do the dishes.
You know that thing when you take the bottle of detergent, like Joy, and you press it, and then a couple of little bubbles like average, but that's still like one of the most fascinating things in the world to me. It still is.
It's still pretty
every time
fun.
It happens, I go, look, there's little Joy bubbles. This is the best.
Because it doesn't happen every time.
Not always.
It's a very special occasion.
Special occasions only. All right. A quick break, and then it is Tech Tuesday. We'll talk to Ashley Escathe and find out what's going on in the world of tech. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It is is a Tech Tuesday, and that means it's time to talk to someone from CNET. God, I love this website. I've been going on it for years and years. And Ashley Escada is on the line with us right now. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just looked up on my iPhone, and I realized that my iOS, or as Bill calls it,
EOS, it's the EOS system.
Was not up to date. How come it doesn't automatically just do it?
I know a lot of people, you can set it up to where your iOS will update itself in the middle of the night. There's an option for it, but I believe it's opt-in as opposed to opt-out. So it's not set up by default. So if you jump in your settings, you can usually set it up. I have mine set up to update like between... I mean, it's in the middle of the night. As long as your phone is charging, it'll update itself.
And Ashley, sometimes if you have a problem like this on your phone, you just jiggle it, right? That's what I do all the time.
Yeah. And then you blow into the microphone like an old Nintendo cartridge.
Network.
Usually that sort of
right.
stuff.
When I did wake up this morning and went on to Facebook, there was a little message that told me about protecting my information. Was that an apology? What happened?
Oh boy, man! Facebook really been dominating the tech news scene the last few weeks with this Cambridge Analytica scandal. You may have heard about it. It's long story short: guy made a personality quiz that it was for research, then gave that data to Cambridge Analytica, which is not a psychology research outfit, and that Cambridge Analytica group used that information against not only the people who had taken the quiz, but all of their friends too, which is about 87 million people, to potentially influence the election. And so Facebook's in a little bit of hot water. You're seeing that message today because Mark Zuckerberg will be testifying in front of Congress later this afternoon.
Ashley, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. So once Cambridge Analytica had that information, how exactly did they use it to influence the election? That's the part that I'm kind of unclear about.
Yeah, I think the easiest way to describe it is we see personality quizzes all over Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And the original app was a personality quiz. So it might ask you questions that you've seen before in personality quizzes. Like
which Full House member are you most like? That kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's something like that. So this guy said it was for research purposes to check out. It's a little bit closer to like psychological profiles. Like if you've ever taken a Myers-Briggs test, right? So similar to that. And with that data, Cambridge Analytica used the data to not only influence voters based on their worst fears or the things that they supported the most or that they were the most concerned about. They also, it was basically used as psychological warfare. They also used it to manipulate people's hopes. And they would create things like ads that would then influence the election based on those results and try to, sway those people. So those types of kind of fun quizzes like aren't supposed to be shared with companies like Cambridge Analytica. That's Facebook is very clear about that. And this guy did it. He turned over that data to Cambridge Analytica. And not only was it the data of those people who had taken the quiz, but they had given permission to those apps to then access their friends' information. And so that ended up turning into, a much bigger pool of people than Facebook had originally imagined.
You can go via computer. I don't know how it works on a mobile device, but you can go on your computer under settings and look at all the apps. I mean, I might have downloaded Farmville a million years ago, but it was still there. Mm-hmm. Foursquare I used to use. So, I mean, it wouldn't be a bad idea to go through your account and delete some of the apps you haven't been using, correct?
Definitely. Go through. You just don't want to give anything access to your information, your data, especially if you're not using it. And like you said, Wendy, you can go right into your Facebook account. I like to think of it as a spring cleaning, right? So we spring clean our houses every year, unless we get lazy, which is me. I haven't done it yet. But if you go through, you should also include now your digital life in your spring cleaning. And you should go through and get rid of those apps that you don't use. Like, disconnect them from your account. Make sure that you're protected. Double-check to see, you know, maybe update your password. Like, it's a really good sort of habit to form regarding your privacy on the Internet.
And regarding passwords, I mean, there are several apps and things that you can get to keep track of your password. I even have my antivirus. I use Trend Micro, and they have a password manager. But I've never been using this because then somebody has access to all my passwords. I don't trust anyone anymore. Are they safe?
So a lot of the highly regarded password managers, I mean, very similarly to, to buying something in an alley somewhere that they say is a real Coach bag, like, it's probably not legit and you should not do that. You want to go to an actual source of a password manager. We really like at CNET, we like LastPass, which is, I believe, free. We really like 1Password, which has a subscription model. And I think I use 1Password and I really like it because I can use it. I can install it on Windows. I can install it on my iPhone. I can install it on, it is available for basically every platform. And how it works is, even though your account is synced to the cloud, your passwords are only stored locally. And so you only have to remember 1Password. So that's the name of 1Password. Very similar to LastPass. You have sort of a master password that unlocks your information, all of the passwords that you have saved. And so it's a little bit safer than saving your passwords in your browser. I know a lot of people that do that. But you can lose that information really easily, and also it's a little bit less secure than using something like a password manager. And it is an added level of inconvenience, and I know that. I've been trying to tell my mom, like, my mom keeps forgetting her passwords. Every time she has to log into something, she resets it. And so I'm like, you should use a password manager. And she's like, it's an extra step. I don't want to take it. I don't want to do it. And it's just easier to do it this way. And I'm like, well, but you're already taking an extra step by resetting your password. So why not just have your password in like a little lockbox that you can access? I think a password manager is great. You can also set up 2-factor authentication, which is when you log in and then it sends you either a text message or you use a little app to generate a second code to log in. That's also very secure.
All right. And LastPass and 1Password are 2 things that are recommended by Ashley Esqueda. Next time we talk to you for Tech Tuesday, you might want to get a new phone. I don't know where you're traveling today, but a little hard to hear you today.
No. I'm so sorry. That's so strange. You know, maybe I'm near my office and there's a lot of satellites and antenna on top of the building. So I'm wondering if maybe there's interference.
I think I'm going to blame it on some kind of a drone or Zuckerberg.
It's Zuckerberg. That monster.
It's all Facebook's fault.
He owes us an apology.
Yes, he does.
Ashley, great to talk to you. Thanks so much for the information.
Thanks.
Ashley Esqueda, senior editor over at CNET, and using a phone from 1986.
Yeah, I mean, it started out bad. It seemed to get a little better.
Sometimes, though, when you're on the giving end of that, you can't tell. You don't know that the line is bad.
I know. You know? I was debating whether or not we should hang up and retry it, but then it seemed to get better, and then it got worse again.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, the Tech Tuesday is sponsored by Illinois Tech's Stewart School of Business. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I'm telling you, I'm born and bred here. Bill, you too. You from Oak Forest, me from Brookfield. So I'm a Bears fan. I don't say that with much enthusiasm lately.
I'm a reformed Bears fan. I've gone through counseling for my Bears love. It's tough. Rashid Davis joins us in studio.
Don't go to counseling. Just accept it.
It's all you can do is accept it. I just said to you, nearly every guy we've ever had come in here who played pro ball comes in limping, and it's a very tough task to get from the door to the chair. You sprinted in. You look so vibrant. What is the secret here?
There is no secret. I hurt just like they do.
Do you?
It just takes me a few steps.
Yeah.
Once I get a few steps in, my body gets warmed and it's moving, then I can move a little bit.
Then you can do it?
Yeah. My problem's more in my neck than it is in my legs anyway, so.
Oh, well, you're in town. You're doing this thing, Saturday Place. It's a fundraiser to benefit your charity. First of all, tell us about Saturday Place.
Saturday Place is a supplemental educational program for third and fourth grade Chicago public school students who are performing at least a year below grade level. My wife and I started it in 2010. Website is saturdayplace.org for anyone who wants to go and check it out. But we saw a need here in Chicago. We're both from California. I grew up in South Central LA. I grew up in a pretty rough environment, drugs, gangs, violence, some of the stuff that our kids in Brighton Park and Back of the Yards neighborhood deal with on a daily basis. And we decided to put everything that I thought helped me overcome my adverse situations into a program, and that's what Saturday Place is.
It's beautiful. Why the target on third and fourth graders?
Because if a student isn't reading at grade level by the end of the third grade, that student is four times less likely to graduate from high school. Now, if you factor in poverty, that's now 13 times less likely to graduate from high school. You don't graduate from high school in the United States, it's around a 70% chance you go to jail.
Yeah.
School-to-prison pipeline, we want to interrupt that. So.
And you want to help the teens doing some information or reading some information. Your father was killed by a gun-wielding teen?
Yeah. My father was killed when I was 8 years old.
Oh,
yeah,
so
I'm from
sorry.
South Central LA.
Yeah.
By just young, stupid kid with no direction. You know, he was 17 years old, and I used to hate him when I was a kid, but not anymore. I understand a lot of the dynamics that go on in neighborhoods like mine, and I understand that sometimes people just don't know any better.
How were you able to come to this? Because I always wonder about people who lose a loved one to violence like this, and then eventually they find forgiveness. How did you pull that off?
My faith. I didn't pull it off. You know, I'm a Christian. Sometimes I act like it.
I hear
like
you.
You know, I'm a better guy than I was when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know, and I attribute that to my faith. Because I could grow up hating everybody and be angry and frustrated with everything. And I'm still angry and frustrated with a lot of things, but I think I'm angry and frustrated with things that matter.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so Saturday Place is one of those things that instead of complaining about all the issues that are going on, that I could actually do something with. You know?
Well, you're taking that third and fourth grader and not letting him get to that point of the teenager who took your father's life.
Exactly.
So you're definitely giving back and making a change.
That's what, you know, people say be the change you want to see. So
that's what
I believe. I believe in self-society.
Yeah.
We all have a responsibility to ourselves and to society. I think a lot of people miss the society part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Americans, we think we need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, get as much as we can, and live life to the fullest. And a lot of the times we forget about other people in that process. And so we'll use them to climb over them. We'll forget about them.
Right.
All of these different things. And I've never forgotten who I am and where I come from. I'm still that kid from South Central LA.
Yeah.
I just live in Libertyville.
Yeah.
I love that. Be the change you want to see. That's really profound. Did you come up with that? Because I love that. I
think Barack used to say that all the time.
I've heard it before.
I've heard many people say it.
I think other people said it before him. You know, it's just one of those things that I try to live. I
love it.
Yeah.
I don't want to just talk about it because a lot of people talk about it. In my neighborhood, we used to say, don't talk about it, be about it.
Right. Is there a large contingency of people who grew up in South Central and moved to Libertyville? I bet everybody.
No?
No,
I think I'm the only one.
I'm surprised to hear this.
Rashid Davis with us, former Chicago Bear receiver. So Chef Bowl 2018, bringing together some of Chicago's top chefs. Are you a chef? Do you cook?
No. I'm a home cook.
Really?
I cook. My wife cooks a lot more than me these days, but I used to cook a lot.
What's your specialty?
Oh, my favorite thing to cook is probably spaghetti because it's easy.
Yeah.
But no, the thing that my family likes the most, I make this enchilada pie. It's just layers of tortillas and meat and cheese.
You want to give us the recipe later today?
Off the air. I don't want to give away my secrets. No.
Yeah, of course not.
Other than yourself, who participates in the Chef Bowl? Who's involved in this?
Oh, so we have King's Lanes. Tony Priolo,
yeah.
Excuse me, I'm blanking on everybody. Corey
Morris.
Corey Morris,
And now I'm forgetting everybody's name. Sorry,
Ben Grant
everyone.
From Maple
that.
And yes. Ash. Kevin Hickey from The yes. Duck Inn. Tom Valente from Lucille.
We just had Kevin Hickey on with us 2 weeks ago. He's a nice guy.
And so some of Chicago's top chefs are coming together, but are they going to be cooking or are they going to be bowling?
They're going to be bowling. It's a chef bowl. We're not making them cook anything. King's is going to provide all the great, delicious food.
That's a great place.
It's a great place to go and have a great time. Eat great food, and you get to bowl, right?
So
we've partnered with them for the last 5 years on this particular event. We're going to also have some former Bears there, you know, like Jerry Azuma, Marcus Robinson, myself, Anthony Adams. Just a lot of guys that I've gotten support from over the years.
Some former teammates
Yeah, former teammates.
You keep in touch with them, right? Good.
I do keep in touch with a lot of guys.
Yeah.
We don't get to see each other like we used to back in the day, but now we support each other every now and then.
How's the bowling average?
My bowling average stinks. I just try to get 100. Once I get three digits, I'm good.
Goal is 100.
That's a good goal to have. You know, my wife beats me all the time routinely, has even when I was an athlete in college.
Yeah.
She would beat me, you know, and she's not a great bowler, but she beats me, so that's all that matters.
Would you do better if the pins had the Green Bay Packer colors on them?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Knock them all down.
I would try my best to knock every one of them down.
So. Was it tough? I know you played for the Bears, and then you went to the Lions for a year, and then you came back. Was it tough playing for a rival? I mean, here in Chicago, the Packers are our number one rival, but the Lions are right up there. Was that tough for the year?
It was tough to leave.
Yeah?
Because I never, you know, expected myself to leave Chicago, and I thought I was even coming back the year that I left.
Did you? Yeah.
You know, I had prepared to be here and ended up in Detroit. You know, I could have gone to New Orleans at the time.
Yeah.
And I ended up in Detroit and loved it. I actually had a great time.
But when you played the Bear, when you're wearing a Lions uniform and you're playing the Bears, did that feel a little odd to you?
It felt odd to go and be in the guest locker room.
Yeah.
It didn't feel odd to play football.
Yeah.
You know, I actually got into a fight that game with some friends.
Did you?
I'm crazy that way because I just want to win.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who is on the other side or whatnot. I just want to win.
Yeah.
When the game is being played and I'm on the field, and there's really not a lot of loyalty.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a loyal Bears fan, but there's in the business of the game, there's not a lot of loyalty. They didn't want me, so I had to go somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and the person that pays you is the one you're loyal to.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right? So, yeah.
Jay Cutler wasn't the quarterback at that point, was he?
Yes, he was.
Because he was better at throwing. They beat the stank
out of us when I came here, too.
He was better at throwing passes to the other team than our own team. So I would think with you at the Lions, that would have been a great day for you.
That's not 100% true, but it's close.
It's close.
It's close.
All right. We're here with Rashid Davis, former Chicago Bear receiver, and there's a benefit going on, Chef Bowl 2018, to support his charity, Saturday Place. It's happening Sunday, April 15th. We want to pick your brain a little bit on football these days.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, I have one son who's into music and one who's into computers, so they have never asked me to play football. We're going to take a quick break and come back. Rashid Davis on with Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. All right, playing football, it's happened here in Chicago. I'm a Bears fan. Former Chicago Bear receiver Rashid Davis in the studio with us. We're talking about Chef Bowl 2018, bringing together some of Chicago's top chefs for a day of bowling and food to benefit your charity, Saturday Place. It's happening Sunday, April 15th, and we asked you before some of the chefs that are participating.
Just off the top of your head, Rashid, who are some of them? Just without reading them, who are they?
Kevin Cudahy, Corey Morris, Tom Valente, Ben Grant, Maple Nash, Kevin Hickey, and Eric Williams. Tony Priolo as well.
Yeah.
Tony's become a good friend over the years, and he's been great at helping us find all the chefs, right?
Yeah.
He's been the one that's using his relationships to help build what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that very much.
And before the break, we were talking about football. Thankfully, in a weird way, I'm happy my sons did not want to play football. You have a son.
Yes, yes.
Does he want to play football?
He's a football fanatic right now, but he...
How old?
He's 7.
Mm-hmm.
He just started playing last year for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Play flag football and started the year out, couldn't catch the ball. And at the end of the year, because he wanted to play so bad, he walks around tossing the football in the air now, catching it, and just
he's gotten better.
He's gotten tremendously better. He's worked at it. His love of the game has grown. He's a huge Mitchell Trubisky fan.
Yeah, like, really.
He's got a poster of Trubisky on the wall. He wrote him a letter.
Wow. Look at that.
Trubisky, he's waiting on you to respond to that letter, by the way. Just letting you know. He's every day asking me, when is he going to respond? So hopefully you hear this, Mitch, because he's looking for you.
All right. So you were so close to the game. You played the game for so many years. You know the perils of the game. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on this? You know it can be a very dangerous game, that it could ruin you. Mm-hmm. What do you think when he comes to you and goes, I really want to keep playing football?
If he wants to play and shows the ability to really play and he's tough enough to handle it, I'll let him play.
Then go for it.
I'll let him go for it because I learned so much more about myself as a person, as a man. I've learned so much more about life and business through the game of football. And there's so much more benefits than people give football credit. You know, there's hard work, determination, teamwork, working for a goal, towards something, standing for something, you know, and standing with others against an opposition.
There's a lot of individuality out there, and I think we need to work together more on many things and learn to be kind to one another and work as a team.
And football is the ultimate team sport. There's no other sport where 11 guys on one side have to work together to accomplish one goal for one play, right?
Right.
So if 10 guys are doing what they're supposed to do, if everybody blocked well, snaps the ball well, everybody runs the right route, I get wide open, beat my guy like a drum. They throw me the ball. I drop it. Play is incomplete. You know, it's unsuccessful.
Yeah, right.
Right. So we all have to trust one another. And there's no place where you'll work with a bunch of people from more diverse backgrounds.
Right.
Right. Everybody's from somewhere else, has a different upbringing, grew up in a different part of the country, has two parents, one parent, no parents, you know, everybody.
Right.
But we're all in it together.
So you're weighing, everything you just said is extremely positive, but the negatives are obvious. I mean, we've all seen cases of people who, after they play the game for a couple of years, they just can't put a sentence together. So you got to try to balance that.
You do try to balance that. And then the hard part is, we talk a lot about concussions, but the concussions aren't really what's causing the major issues, right? It's the subconcussive blows that are happening every day. So there are some things that you can do about that in practice, right? So you don't have to be in shoulder pads every day.
Yeah.
It's not, people think of football as a checkers game, like a checkers match.
Yeah.
Football is chess. It's not checkers. You know, it's, if you think about the game, there's a lot of guys who are Rhodes Scholars that play football.
Yeah.
You know, the quarterbacks are some of the smartest people you'll ever meet. They're just crazy intelligent people. They just play football, you know? So if you coach the game, if the game is coached well and the players are cared for better.
Yeah.
And which is, I think, is what the game has been missing. It's just we've thought so much about the bravado of the game and beat your chest or I'm the silverback in the room.
Yeah.
Get the cortisone, you know, shots and get back into
get
the
back
game.
Get back on the field.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was the game that I played. I don't think the game needs to be that, though.
Right.
Knowing what we know. It doesn't have to be that. If you don't have to be in your shoulder pads every day. You don't have to be banging your heads against people every day.
Right.
Now, that being said, football inherently is a violent game. It takes some courage and it takes some strength to run head on to 255 pounds when I'm 180 pounds.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Jump up and catch a ball over the middle of the field when I have 230 pounds bearing down, getting ready to knock me out.
Right.
You know, but it's just, you'll never be able to take the violence out of the game.
Yeah, sure.
Completely.
Right.
But so we do learn stuff more and more every day. Like before, they did think it was just a big, bad concussive blow. One big hit would mess you up, but it was just the constant, even smaller hits that move your brain around.
That's what caused the problem. It's just like being a boxer.
Right.
It's not the big blow that that hurts boxers, right? It's
the non-stop
every
barrage.
Day. It's the boom, that's boom, it. Boom. Yeah, every yeah. day I'm getting hit.
Yeah.
When I'm training, I'm getting hit.
Yeah.
When I'm fighting, I'm getting hit, you know, which right. is why it's I think boom, Floyd boom, boom. Is so great because he decided yeah. not to get hit.
Right, right.
With everybody
right.
else.
Right. You're right.
Or, you know, just going in there to be the biggest, baddest, and throw as many punches and take as many punches as they could. He yeah. chose to not do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe your son will be a rock star chef someday. That would be
That would be great. I would
cool.
prefer him to be a great golfer.
Okay. You know?
A little safer.
Yeah.
Slightly yeah. safer. Yeah, yeah. Can I ask really quick, in all the years you played pro football, who were you in awe? Was there one guy that you were just in awe of on the field, either played with you or against you, that you just went, this guy's the most complete player I've ever seen?
As an offensive player, the guy that I was in awe of the most that I played with
yeah.
was probably Calvin Johnson.
Was it? Yeah.
As a receiver, just yeah. his sheer size. You yeah. know, he's gigantic,
yeah.
6'5", 230 pounds, 3% body fat, runs fast, stops as well as I do.
Yeah.
You know, typically bigger guys don't. They can get the body going, but they can't stop as
like
quickly.
A locomotive.
They can't move yeah. as well. And he was
yeah.
as agile as they come as a receiver, and he's just a big
yeah.
guy, you know. And the guy that I think of more, so I hate to say this on air, in Chicago is Tom Brady, because
yeah.
it's so hard to win. You know, and for them to have...
He's a cheater.
That is another thing that that bothers
cheater.
Me, right?
Yeah.
That to me, being someone who's all about fairness and
yeah.
and my mindset for anybody that did steroids or anything like that is like I played the game as well as I could naturally,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I always told myself if I couldn't play the game naturally anymore, or if I had to take pain pills and all of that other stuff, even though everyone took pain pills to survive and go to practice. But once I started, it became something of a habit, and I couldn't do the game anymore, I would give it up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to cheat this young man that's behind me out of his opportunity. So I'm just going to be. So the cheating part of the Patriots irks the hell out
yeah.
of me.
Sure.
You know, excuse my language. It
no.
just irks me because I want to cheer for them, and I want to support them because it's so hard to win. And
he
so
is pretty good, though.
Out. But he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal.
And
just
so
his
long.
Sheer will to win and the intelligence it takes to play his position when the guy on the other side, as a defensive coordinator, spends his whole day, every day, for months and years on end to try to figure out how to beat you, and
yeah.
you beat him every
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
A great time meeting you, Rashid.
Thank
this
you.
Is,
great meeting
we
you.
We really
as well.
Appreciate you being here.
Go to Chef Bowl 2018. A lot of chefs will be there. General admission tickets are available. You can go to SaturdayPlace.org/Chef Bowl. There
yes.
are ticket information
yes.
there. And it's happening on Sunday, April 15th, 2 p.m. at King's Dining and Entertainment in Lincoln Park. Just go to SaturdayPlace.org and find out. Maybe you can't attend this, but you can find out how you can help. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. We do have some general admission tickets, so you
oh,
can
good.
Buy some tickets and
all
come
right.
and hang out.
Perfect. Thanks,
right.
Rashid. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break and then some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Kim. Appreciate it. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I have to tell you, Bill, I think I can speak for you in this. We love when Tim Ryan comes into the studio
oh, yeah.
here. Tim Ryan is the founder of A Man in Recovery Foundation. He has a book, From Dope to Hope, A Man in Recovery. You were an addict, heroin, cocaine, alcohol. You did time in prison. You lost your son. What am I missing anything, Tim?
I used to water ski and skydive.
Yes, Wendy, throw that in there.
I leave out the good
make,
stuff.
Make a better picture.
How long have you been sober?
Almost 5.5 years.
Congrats.
You have...
Go figure.
See, to me, I feel like all you've accomplished since your sobriety... I expected you to say I've been sober for 20 years.
No.
Because you've done so much.
Yeah, and it's been about 4.5 years since I walked out of prison. So it's crazy. You know, and God opened the doors and I walked through them and I saw the opportunities, but... Man, I'm sick of burying people. You know, another Matt Dale, who was one of my son's best friends. Matt died 3 months ago, and his mom just messaged me this morning. It was fentanyl and heroin. He was over 2 years sober.
Did he know there was fentanyl in there? Do
no,
people who do heroin know there's fentanyl and want it there?
Some people do. So you got to go the way an addict thinks. if I were to go get dope here on the west side and I want the good stuff, hey, where's the good dope? Go get the blue Superman bags, they're killing people. That's where I'm going to go.
But, even though you know it's killing people.
Yeah, but from an addict standpoint, when your tolerance builds, you just want to get high. But you're also in such a desperate place. I don't care if I die or not, because it's so miserable trying to exist in the world of addiction. It's crazy. But yeah, the fentanyl, I mean, that's 100 times stronger than pure heroin.
And yet somehow, even people with that mindset, I don't care if I die, I just need some. Somehow there's a percentage that find their way out of that. You're living proof.
Yeah, and I'm one of them. I mean, I remember the last time I overdosed was in Rush Copley Hospital. I wake up, my wife Shannon standing there looking over me. My face is beat up. Clarity came to. And I had overdosed at a so-called friend's house, and they dragged me down two flights of stairs. My face knocked out a tooth and dragged me two blocks down the road and left me for dead. As soon as clarity came to, I took everything out, checked myself out, went to their house, kicked the crap out of both of them, got my money, my drugs, and went back to doing drugs, because that's what addicts do.
And that is what addicts do. That's what drives you, basically.
You live to use and use to live, but there is a way out. And I don't care how people get into the world of addiction, whether it's a bad choice or smoking weed and whatever, and try a pill. But there's a way out, but you got to put your damn hand up and ask for help. I mean,
but it seems impossible. I know you've been sober now over 5 years.
Yep.
But somebody who is using, or someone who's listening, which every time you're here, you have a parent or some kind of family member or friend that's listening that knows that their son or daughter or friend is having a problem. But how do you get someone help if they don't want help?
For a lot of people don't want help. That's why me or one of my people are walking into the house and doing an intervention. And most times, all right, fine, you work them a little, but then they want to get the help. But it's a matter of putting your hand up. I can't tell you how many people have said, well, I heard you on the Bill and Wendy show 6 months ago, but I need your help right now. If you have somebody struggling, pick up the phone and call us now. That's what you need to do. Pick up the phone, reach out to me. You can reach me at 888-677-1646 or at 844-611-HOPE.
And your website is amirf.org.
Amirf.org. And I also work with Transformations Treatment Center, transformationstreatment.center. And we'll help you. And if you insurance, no insurance, good insurance, it doesn't matter. We're here to help.
People don't believe you when you say that, but it's
crazy.
It's totally
when
true.
I walk out of your radio show, the phone starts blowing up. Sure. The emails. You can find me on Facebook, Tim Ryan, Dope to Hope. I mean, we're here to help. And if I can, I'll find you the resources.
Tim, we've talked to people in a similar position to you where they talk about rock bottom. And I think you at one point talked about hitting rock bottom. What does that mean exactly when you realize I can't get any worse? I have to do something to head back
up. So for me, though, rock bottom was going to prison and losing everything. What I tried to do today is get people to where you don't have to go to that depth. You know, it's like that's why I've got my son Max with me. We travel the country together. But a lot of interventions we do or families we meet with, Max does a lot of the work because he can just, especially the younger kids, and Max not an addict, but he can just start sharing some of the things he went through with me and Nick. And
as a dad who was an addict, correct?
Yeah, with a dad as an addict. And, you know, because I'm able to see it from this point of view, you know, he can talk to someone struggling in addiction, you know, addict to addict, and they can relate on that level. But sometimes when they have family talk to them about how they feel, they just think they're bugging them. They want them off their back. And I can kind of, when I was working at a treatment center, I like to kind of come in with that approach of, hey, I don't know where you've been. I know of it. But hey, this is how I see things from my point of view. This is how it affected me. This is how it affected my growing up. And this is how it's affecting everyone in your life currently. And it can kind of hit them from a different point of view. And that's where I try to come in.
And you're 20. So you're going to reach them, I think, a little better than you. Look at this. Old guy.
With a half an ear.
With half an ear.
Half an ear. But the problem is, too, Wendy and Bill.
A buccaneer. I don't know what that means. I just like saying it.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The families have to get help, too. Whether Johnny, Susie, Mark, Lucy go to treatment, darn it, the family's got to get help. Because if you take that person and put them back into a sick environment, their chances of success are zero.
Sure.
you know.
Tim Ryan is here, the author of From Dope to Hope, A Man in Recovery. We'll give you more information in just a little bit. Thanks, guys, for being here. We'll take a quick break and then continue with Tim Ryan and his son, Max. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Tim Ryan is here along with his son, Max. He's the founder of A Man in Recovery, a great foundation helping people with opioid troubles and otherwise. You are more entrenched in this than anyone I've ever met. Are you amazed at how awful this crisis has become?
The crazy thing is, it's just getting worse. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we were in Boyd County, Kentucky, which is right on the border of West Virginia and Portsmouth, Ohio. And this lady stands up and she said, since November, 8 of her nephews have died from heroin. 8 since November. She called me the next day, had another one. Got him into a detox. Our foundation sent him to a place in South Carolina. She sent me a message 2 days ago. Now her daughter and her former husband are both in ICU from overdoses. It's getting worse. It's not getting any better. But we've got to really change some things up on what's happening here.
All right. So what do you do? Someone's listening right now. I know that tough love would probably be impossible for me to do. Thank God I haven't had to deal with that
That's
yet.
That's why you have me, because I'll come to your house and educate and guide and direct you, Wendy.
Okay. So somebody listening right now, they know their kid is using.
They need to pick up the damn phone and ask for help. They have to. Because a lot of parents, you have to take your emotions out of this. You are dealing with somebody that has a progressive and chronic disease that the next time can absolutely kill them. Well, I didn't want to kick them out. And if you give them a warm house, food, a shower, they have no reason to change. Why would I change if my environment is safe to do drugs in?
You're enabling them to continue using.
Absolutely. And ultimately, though, I had my other buddy Mike call me this morning. He's got a mom. Kid's been to treatment 17 times in a year. He doesn't want help. We can't rescue people. I can guide and direct them. I can get them into treatment. Then we can work with them getting into recovery, but it's ultimately up to them. But the family has to get help, too. I mean, it's like Max's brother, Nick. I told Nick, I said, look, Nick, if you want to keep getting high, you're welcome to. But get your own apartment, pay your own bills, and destroy your life. You're not doing it under my roof or mom's roof anymore. And he tried and ultimately used again and died. That's a reality.
Do you think to yourself, if only I let him stay here, he'd be alive today?
You know, Shannon said that at first. What I know now, I would have got my son on a plane and got him the hell out of Illinois in a second.
So you have to leave your old life behind and start anew, basically, right?
I would have got him away from people, places, and things. Nick knew how to do treatment locally, but he didn't know how to stay sober. Whether it's getting
Is that the hardest part?
Absolutely.
But Tim, if that's the life he knew here in Illinois, regardless of where you would have sent him, he would have found that element, wouldn't he have?
If he wanted to, but he could also have found the gift of recovery. Yeah. And if he doesn't have his old friends to go back to or haunts or just reminders, it's a change of it. That's why I work for Transformations Treatment Center in Florida. You know, I was just down there visiting with my clients and the families coming in for family weekend. And there's great places all over the country. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of times get them away from people, places, and things. We are setting people up to fail. That's a problem. Or you get someone getting out of treatment. They can't afford to get into a sober home. They're back on the streets. I mean, our system's broken. And the new CARA Act that they just shot down again, there's a young lady in Virginia, got sober, has a really good job, and was denied by United Healthcare for insurance because she had been to treatment before. So now they're going to start denying.
So they're being
people.
Punished yes. for getting
yes.
help.
Yes. And it's going to be harder and harder for people to get health insurance. And I'm telling you, if you have good health insurance, don't lose it. Do not lose it. Get the COBRA. Get what you need to do. Or don't wait around, because when they turn 26 years old, they're off mom and dad's insurance.
Yeah.
And having insurance, it helps. It's harder and harder for us to get people into treatment now.
I follow you on Facebook, and it breaks my heart every time there's a picture of some young guy or girl who, you know, we've lost another one. And then I look on their profile, and it's like, oh, I've been sober for 1 month. Oh, yep. My God, this is awesome. What happens?
Well, that's why people either like me or hate me. I'm in your damn face. And it's not just a matter of getting sober for 3 months. Kumbaya, my life is great, because you're still in that pink cloud. You got to learn to live life on life's terms. But you have to put recovery first before my wife, my former wife, my kids, my job. Recovery's A number one. Without that, you're dead in the water. But also, addicts instant gratification. So I get 3 months sober. I want a new apartment. I want a condo. I want to be bank manager. It doesn't work that way. But if you surround yourself, you got to change every aspect of your life.
How do you go from, I mean, I know I've taken pain pills when I had my knee replaced. My doctor wouldn't refill them. They're good. Like, you're done. And I didn't like them, but it helped me go to sleep, and the pain was away. So how do you take someone who has so much pain, who does heroin in the first place, how do you get them to all of a sudden care so much about themselves?
It's a process, but a lot of people struggling, whether it's heroin, and let's not get this, I work with people that are alcoholics, that are cocaine, not just heroin and opiates, but they usually have some form of trauma underneath, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, sexual, whatever, and you've got to work with the underlying trauma. I mean, that's why I just, my former cop buddy, Detective Wasaki from Naperville, retired. Rich is now working in conjunction with our treatment center for our first responders program. We have a program just for firemen, police officers, paramedics. We have a program for veterans. And that's a lot more heavy-induced trauma therapy because the crisis is therein. I was speaking last week in Ohio to 600 paramedics, police officers. I was a keynote, and the afternoon keynote was the principal from Columbine High School when the school got shot up, and the things he dealt with and how to deal with this. He said he's still in therapy today, you know, and he still works at it. It's a journey. It's not a race. You're constantly always working at it.
Remember when you were a kid and you'd be in school and somebody would come in and they'd go, hey, don't smoke cigarettes. They're bad for you. Here's my story or something like that. When you go in and speak at these schools, what is the attitude from the kids watching you guys?
When I come in, you can hear a pin drop. It's real talk. But a lot of it today is in these stupid things called cell phones. It's the Snapchat. It's the Instagram. It's the bullying. Say we're all in school and Wendy dyes her hair purple and I take picture. Hey, look at that dopey broad with the purple hair.
Yeah.
And then all the kids are laughing at her. She's going home. She might be getting depressed, anxiety, start self-medicating. Boom, right? Look at in the suicides. Kids are mean today, and the parents need to be held accountable. Damn it, parents need to be parents. Quit being friends with your friggin' kids. You are not your 16-year-old daughter's best friend. You are her mother. But it's a bullying and it's snitching on their friends. I mean, you got a friend using, say something. Kids don't know where to go today.
Right.
That's a problem. And if you're interested in having us come out, TimRyanSpeaks.com.
Is there such a thing as a casual heroin user?
No.
Can you be a casual?
Absolutely
you can't be,
not.
Can you?
No. Most people get hooked very quickly. I've never met anyone that just said, well, I did heroin for a year and I quit.
Hmm.
No. But what happens, too, I see a lot of people, well, I don't do heroin anymore, but I'm smoking weed or I'm drinking and I'm sober. No, you're not. But, hey, I'd rather have you smoking weed than doing heroin all day long.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I'd like to see people get to an abstinence-based lifestyle, but it might not happen for some. Harm reduction. Philadelphia's opening a safe injection site where people can actually go and shoot up in a safe place with clean needles, cookers, a nurse, doctor, but you can have peer recovery support specialists coming in saying, hey, Max, you know, have you considered wanting to try to give recovery or get on a maintenance program? We have to really shift everything we're doing because what we're doing absolutely isn't working.
All right. People need to call you, follow you, AMIRF.org. That stands for A Man in Recovery Foundation.org.
Yes, ma'am. Or they can reach me at two phone numbers. 888-677-1646 is Transformations Treatment Center in Florida. That's my direct line. Or with the Man in Recovery Foundation, 844-611-HOPE, H-O-P-E.
We get a lot of Facebook messages from people saying how they call you at all hours and you get back to them and they're surprised. Also, I want to say congratulations, you quit smoking. They say quit smoking cigarettes is harder than giving up heroin. Which was harder?
No. You don't have to say
I would say the cigarettes. Yeah. No, heroin was tough, but I was locked in prison, so I had to quit. Those cigarettes, so being a recruiter, doing what I do now, I'd be on the phone. I missed that. But when we're walking here from where we parked, a guy was smoking, and I said, what did I say to you?
You said you could smell it down the block.
I mean, I could. It just stinks.
Yeah.
And
I miss it. I haven't had one since
And what else
November.
Happened? I bought Max a new truck.
It's no smoking.
Truck, but I didn't want to have it smelling like a smoke box. So, and I'm so proud of you, Wendy, for quitting. That's
November
awesome.
November 12th was my last cigarette.
You're my hero. Phil, you are too.
Oh, come on.
You guys both are.
You are truly our hero. We love when you come in here because I'm telling you, there are people texting and calling that need your help. Again,
reach out, man.
How do they do it? One more time.
You can reach me at 888-677-1646 or at 844-611-HOPE, or look me up on Facebook, Instagram, Dope to Hope,
He's everywhere.
Tim Ryan from Dope to Hope. Just Google my name, Tim Ryan Hope Dealer, Tim Ryan Addict. You'll find me. We got another TV show in the works. We're working on another book. We got all sorts of cool stuff going on.
Max, thanks, happy Tim. Birthday. Glad Thank you so have much. Your dad to celebrate with you.
Hey, man, actually, you he was out of town, so it was a nice birthday.
It was awesome.
That says a lot. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate
you.
It.
Love
a quick
you guys.
Break. Thank you. Love you. Love you back. You. We'll find out what Steve has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.